Chronicles chapter 25 is our passage tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. We are working, of course, our way through the books of 1 and 2 Chronicles. We've been doing that now for about 6 months. And that includes our four-week excursion to the book of Haggai. And tonight we come back to 1 Chronicles, which, just a reminder, once again, for the sake of my own conscience, that Chronicles is written historically. It is placed in our Bibles side by side with Kings, but Kings is written kind of as a current events. This is what's happening now. Chronicles is a much later historical look backwards at many of those events, not all of them. It is for an Israel that is returning from captivity, and it is reminding them about the religious nature of their nation and the promises that God has for them. One commentator has said that one of the major themes of the book of 1 and 2 Chronicles is found in the expression, all Israel. And of course, Israel had been divided and had come to the brink of civil war and avoided civil war only because God himself intervened and prevented there from being a civil war. And so it is a greatly disrupted nation, and this is a historical reflection upon its history. Let's go ahead and stand, please. We're going to read ultimately the entirety of the chapter, which is 31 verses. But we'll begin as we stand by reading down through verse number 6. So 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 1 through 6. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to their service was, of the sons of Asaph, Zachar and Joseph and Nethaniah and Asrullah, the sons of Asaph under the hands of Asaph, which prophesied according to the order of the king. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah and Ziri, and Jeshiah, Hashabiah, Mattathiah, 6, under the hands of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord. Of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uziel, Shebuel, and Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliathath, Gidalti, and Romanti-Ezer, Josh Bekashah, Melathi, Hather, and Mahaziath. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the words of God, to lift up the horn. And God gave to Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, psalteries, and harps, for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order to Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman. And we will stop there, and let's pray. Lord, in asking your blessing upon your people and your church, a significant part of our service is music. Help us to understand your perspective. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And you may, of course, be seated. I had deliberately, of course, paused where we did and undertaken Haggai to bring us back to this passage, which concludes the life of David and his contribution to the worship of the nation of Israel. I want to begin just by pointing out the way the chapter is structured. Not some of our most favorite reading, but it is the word of the Lord, and he has arranged his material for a specific way. So I just want to point out that the chapter falls kind of into three headings, and I just want to read them and point them out to you for your own instruction. The first heading section we've already read, and that's verses 1 through 6. And in verses 1 through 6, God tells us about the families that are involved. They're all Levites. You can go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 6, and you can find these men listed among the Levites. And of course, out of there was a tribe, Levi, one of the sons of Jacob, and God chose the tribe of Levi to be his religious representatives. And from the tribe of Levi, he chose Aaron, and all of Aaron's descendants then became priests, and everybody else that was of the tribe of Levi that wasn't one of Aaron's descendants became a Levite. And the Levites served in the temple. They carried the tent of the tabernacle. They moved the furniture around. They had their assignments. And here, because we are now anticipating a permanent dwelling place for the Ark of the Covenant, they have this additional ministry. There is Heman, who is mentioned in chapter 25 and verse 6. He is found in Psalm 88:1. A song or psalm for the sons of Korah to the chief musician upon Mahalath, Leonath, Maskell of Heman, the Ezrahite. There's Jeduthun in verse number 6. Jeduthun has Psalm 39, 62, and 77 ascribed to him because he is the chief musician. He is the head musician. And then there is Asaph. And Asaph writes Psalm number 50, and then Psalms 73 through 83. So these are the families, these three men. The next section is, okay, I'm sorry, I said three. There are two sections of the chapter, and then let's read beginning in verse number 7, this list of names down to the end of the chapter. So the number of them, with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, was 208. And they cast lots, ward against ward, as well the small as the great, the teacher as the scholar. Now the first lot came forth for Asaph to Joseph. The second to Gedaliah with his brethren and sons were 12. The third to Zachar, he and his sons, and his brethren were 12. The fourth to Isri, he and his sons and his brethren were 12. The fifth to Nethaniah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The sixth to Bukiah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The seventh to Jasarela, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The eighth to Jeshiah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The ninth to Mattaniah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The tenth to Shimei, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 11th to Azrahiel, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 12th to Hashabiah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 13th to Shubiel, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 14th to Mattathiah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 15th to Jeremoth, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 16th to Hananiah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 17th to Josh-Bekesha, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 18th to Hanani, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 19th to Malathi, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 20th to Eliathah, he and his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 1 and 20th to Hother, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 2 and 20th to Gidalti, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 3 and 20th to Mahazioth, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 4 and 20th to Romanti Ezer, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. So there are the families, and then there are divisions of the musical Levites into 24 courses, which if you recall, the other Levites and the priests, David divided into 24 distinct divisions, or what are called in our Bible courses. And these men then served on a rotating basis. 24 men serving throughout the course of the year. And this continues even up until the New Testament, into the Gospels. John the Baptist's father was serving at his assigned time. And so we have all of these men, and they are organized and divided into 24 distinctive groups. This section, verse 7 through 31, seems to be highlighting and emphasizing the 288 leaders that are found in verse number 7. So the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, was 288. And we would infer that, we would define that because 1 Chronicles 23:5 tells us that there were 4,000 Levites who were devoted to music. And here we have these 288 men. And they form the leaders of, or they constitute the totality of, the temple choir. And music in the Old Testament was not exactly like music in the New Testament, in that there wasn't a lot of congregational singing. There was some, I think. The songs of ascent are congregational kind of songs, but most singing was done by the Levites to the congregation. And again, folks, as we look at the chapter and we ask ourselves, well, what is the purpose of this book? And how does it pertain to those who are the original recipients, the returning captivities? This is instructive to them to know how to order worship, right? They were not to go back and make do with the best that they could come up with and figure it out on their own and put their finger on the latest trends and innovations in the worship world and order their worship in that way. They were to return to the way that God had established. So there's the structure of the chapter. What I want to do this evening is go back to the first six verses. And I just want to make four points to you that I think the text makes about music. The fact that these practices stand not only uncondemned, but endorsed by God are testimony to their authority and their reliability. When you start, folks, and you read Exodus and you get into Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and you read about worship and you read about the temple and you read about the tabernacle and you read about the assembly, there's really not a hint about music. And then along comes David. And now music enters the scene. And this is by divine design, it appears. And God himself wrote the music that they would sing. And we will, of course, come back to that. That's part of it. And I just say that, folks, because I'm taking the approach that 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 1 through 6, contain not simply Old Testament information, but timeless information. Information that we would do well to remember. So, with that in mind, 4 points from the text. Number one, music is by men. Music is by men. Verse number 7, so the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, was 288. People sang. Right? There's nothing complex about what I'm going to say tonight. Right? Point number one is this. The people sang. People sang. And while it is true that the vast majority of music in the Old Testament is masculine in its nature, I would point out to you verses 5 and 6. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, and the words of God to lift up the horn. And God gave to Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord. All these, 14 sons and 3 daughters, for music in the house of the Lord. People sang. people sang. God wrote the music. The Psalms are God's songwriting capabilities. And there is coming a day, folks, Zephaniah 3:17, when God himself will sing to his people. But music is by men. It is not just a tradition. It is not just a man-made invention that music is a huge part of a church service, or at least ought to be. Music is by men. People are supposed to sing. And as we become adults, we become more painfully aware sometimes that the quality of our voice is not the best, and we can't sing as well as other people, and all of those things. And that is completely a matter of indifference to the Lord. People are supposed to sing. When we have song service, you're supposed to sing. Music is by people. Secondly, second point, music is by people with instruments. Verse number one. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their service was. If you recall, not terribly long ago, I pointed out to you that many of the reformers in the Martin Luther world of the Protestant Reformation of 1517, many of the reformers rejected instrumental music. And they devised an argument whereby they said, well, it was acceptable in the Old Testament, but it is not acceptable in the New Testament. We don't have that problem. You don't find very many Baptist churches that are opposed to musical instruments. But you do find lots of Baptist churches who are opposed to certain types of instruments. But the reality, folks, is that the Bible bans no specific type of instrument. I'm not advocating for every type of instrument. As I mentioned, when was it? I don't even remember. There's no rock band hiding in my office waiting to make its appearance. But my point is just simply this. There are a variety of instruments that are mentioned. When your Bible talks about harps, it may be talking about the massive thing that we think of, but the word harp really refers to a stringed instrument. Psaltery, you have here the word psaltery. The word psaltery is actually a translation of the Hebrew word for bottle. And even bottle is a little bit disjointed to our ear because bottles were not glass bottles with unscrewed lids. Bottles were leather jugs. And these are percussion instruments that right, you would kind of inflate them and beat on them and get the percussion sound. Cymbals are just that. They are cymbals, clanging cymbals. This has absolutely nothing to do with the service, but you know, our daughter went to Maranatha Baptist College, it was in those days, now it's Maranatha Baptist University. She was a piano pedagogy major, and we were having dinner with the head of the music program, and I asked him, because I like to ask these things, tell me one of the funniest stories that you have. And he said, well, I don't know how funny this is, but he said, I got thrown out of the Air Force band. Now, folks, this is a man who is a genuine musical virtuoso. He said, I got thrown out of the Air Force band. He said, I didn't do the cymbals properly for them. My job was to do the cymbals, and I didn't do it. I was supposed to clang once, and I clanged twice. And so, in verse number 5 of chapter 25, there is a reference to the horn. Psalm 150, verse number 4, says that we are to praise God with organs, which is some type of a wind instrument. And here's the point that I'm trying to make, folks. God puts his stamp of approval on people singing and of people using instruments. The way in which an instrument is used could most certainly be inappropriate, but the instrument is not inappropriate simply because of the type of instrument it is. Because there's just no prohibition upon any specific type of instruments. There are percussion instruments, cymbals and psalteries. There are stringed instruments. There are what we would call brass instruments, horns. Horns were literally horns. All kinds of instruments were used. You can use them wrongly, but they're not wrong just because they exist. That brings me to number three. Music is by people with musical instruments for God. For God. Chapter 25, verse number 1. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service. To the service. Verse number 6. All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord with cymbals, psalteries, and harps for the service of the house of God. Music is by us. We may use musical instruments, but music is for God. This is, folks, one of the major dilemmas in dealing with music, is that you have a very hard time getting people to realize that music is not for them. It is for the Lord. Music is for God. Verse number 3, of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zerai, Jeshiah, Hashabiah, Mattathiah, 6, under the hands of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord. Music is by people with instruments for God. For God. The book of Psalms, right? The word psalm is actually a Greek word and refers to a stringed instrument. The Hebrew title of the book of Psalms is praises. Praises. And in fact, the last 5 psalms all begin with that expression, praise the Lord, or praise ye the Lord. This is where we get the word hallelujah. Hallel, praise, and a shortened form of Jehovah, Yah, praise Jehovah, hallel. Music is for God. These are God's songs, folks, and they are for Him. They are to be sung to Him. They are to be sung about Him. And that brings me then to the fourth point. Music is by people, with instruments, to God, under authority. Under authority. And there are 2 types of authority that are clearly mentioned in this passage. One is human authority. David orchestrated and commissioned these musicians. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph. There's authority. David and the captains of the host separated under the service of the sons of Asaph. It's the same concept in verse number 2. The sons of Asaph, Zachar, Joseph, Nethaniah, Ezrelah, the sons of Asaph, under the hands of Asaph, which prophesied according to the order of the king. And that word under in verse number 2 and that word order in verse number 2 are the same Hebrew word. Under. Under. This is the concept of authority. One is under authority. One wields authority or one is under authority. What did the man say to Jesus? I am a man under authority. I have been authority granted to me, and I use my authority, I issue orders. It is used in 25:3 and 25:6. So part of the dimension is human authority. But the primary authority in the passage, folks, is none other than God himself. This is prophecy. This is prophecy. That is a very important word. Verse number 7, we'll come back to that. Verse number 7, they were instructed in the songs of the Lord. And that word cunning there doesn't have anything to do with their musical skill. It's not highlighting the fact that they were great piano players or great horn players. The word cunning has to do with discernment. These were men who understood the task. They understood the assignment. They understood what their responsibility was. And as I've already mentioned, it is prophecy. And not in the sense of predictive sense, although some songs do predict the future and what will happen. It is prophecy, prophetic in the sense that it is speaking words about God. That it is claiming to have God's stance on any variety of subjects. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 that if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And there's that word oracle conjures up to us all kinds of mystery and smoke and visions. But the word oracles is simply a translation of the Greek word that we all know, and that is the word logos. If any man speaks, said Peter, let him say what God said. Let him say what God said. Neither the pulpit nor the musical platform is a place in the name of the Lord to entertain, to offer up one's opinion. It is a place to tell people what the Lord said. Music is under authority. So there are the 4 points. Music is by people. It is by people and it can be accompanied with instruments. It is for God and it is under His authority. With that having been said, let me issue some very generalized warnings because I obviously do not know everybody's heart and thinking. But let me give you some generalized issues. Number one, work very hard to think of religious music as entertainment. As entertainment. Whether we are singing it in church or whether you are listening to it in your car or whether you are listening to it wherever you are listening to it, it is not entertainment. As I mentioned, one of the most problematic issues, and somebody recently just, you know, gave me a book to read on contemporary music and, you know, rock music and all that stuff. And you can talk about all the technicalities all day long, folks. We can talk about syncopation and the accent of this beat and what that might mean musically. And there's a place for all of that. But it just seems that we never touch upon the most fundamental problem we all face in music. And that is that there is music that we like and music that we don't. And it seems to me that we're always going to be challenged musically if we cannot separate the fact that not all religious music is designed to cater to our tastes. It is for God under His authority. It's supposed to cater to His tastes. And do not be ignorant of the fact, folks, that in the United States of America, Christian music is a huge industry. We have our own Hall of Fame. We have our own Hall of Fame for Christian musicians. They have a Hall of Fame. And they can receive awards for how many songs, for how many copies of their music is sold. And they have their own celebrity artists. And I ask the question that I have asked many times, what would the world look like if pastors lived under that umbrella? What would be the outcome, folks, if my salary depended upon how many sermons I would be out in the street begging for bread. But how might it influence what I said and how I said it if I knew that my livelihood depended upon how many downloads I could get? When we are singing God's words, or words that are accurate about God. One of the things the reformers were against, and I don't want to go back and revisit it, but were hymns of human composition. Right? Only sing the Psalms. We are not there either, but the music that we sing must reasonably reflect the attributes of God. And I would say that the way we sing it needs to reasonably reflect the way we understand God. Not all of it needs to be grand, majestic, sweeping anthems that drag along. Most of it can be thrilling and exuberant and exciting. Sing to the Lord with a loud voice. But we are singing to God, and He should be the focus of what we sing and how we sing it. So there is the Lord's position on music. By people, He wants us to sing. With instruments, play away. To Him, under His authority. Let's pray this evening. Our Heavenly Father, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to You. May they be pleasing to You. And so I pray Your blessing upon us musically. Thank You. Thank You, Father, for the number of people You have given us who are skilled with a musical instrument, and those who are skilled with musical leadership, and a congregation that sings exuberantly to You. May all that we do be pleasing to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple of